welcome everyone to the Habitcast. This is Habitat Pinellas and West Pasco's official podcast. And Morgan just forced me to do the intro that she usually does. So I do not recall what you typically say, but my name is Mike Sutton, and I'm the president and CEO of Habitat. And this is Morgan, who is my co-host on the podcast. So, Morgan, how you doing?
I'm great. I love seeing the switch up.
I know.
Episode 17, we got to switch it up a little bit.
My mind just went blank on it. But, hey, you know, whatever, right? We will switch it up a little bit today.
Great.
So, how are things going?
They're going pretty awesome. Yeah. It's July. We wrapped up National Homeownership Month last month, and we have volunteers back on site.
You know, that has probably been one of the biggest impacts to us over the last 18, 19 months.
Absolutely.
Is not having volunteers on the site. I know it's been a challenge for our construction team. It's been a challenge for just our organization.
Every department.
Yeah.
And volunteers are integral to the entire mission of Habitat. And not only are you out on site and helping build homes, but that also funnels into homeowners and donors and sponsors. I mean, there's so many pieces.
Yeah.
And not having them has been, like you said, it's been definitely difficult. So having them back on site is really exciting.
But we've turned the corner.
Yeah.
So we now volunteers back on site. If you are interested in volunteering, you can go to our website and click on the volunteer link, mm-hmm. and that's where you sign up. There's always opportunities. We will build 65 new homes this year.
Yeah.
In order to do that, we need thousands, tens of thousands of volunteers to come out and swing a hammer. So check out our website, come out and volunteer. It's always a fun opportunity.
Well, and it's cool also because even if you can't join us on a build site for whatever reason, there's opportunities in the restores, mm-hmm. At special events and specialty builds and things like that. So there's a lot of great opportunity to just help move the mission forward, even if you're not on the build site. So there's so many opportunities. Check out the website.
I did landscaping recently on a house.
Mulch king.
I there is an art to putting mulch down.
Oh,
it's
right,
all
sure.
about the fluff. And you know, if you just kind of spread it too thin, it just doesn't look right.
It's almost like when you're baking and you're using flour and you have to like fluff it with a fork. So maybe you should just get like a big pitchfork.
I have no idea what that even
means. Oh my god. I forgot. You use your oven as like storage, don't you?
No. But I do like those, at Publix, they get those pre-made meals,
uh-huh.
you know?
Like just pop them in?
Yeah. It's like,
that counts.
You know, the chicken stuff, you know, whatever it is. But yeah, just pop it in. I don't bake, though. Like, you asked me to do, like, an apple pie, I'd go buy it at Publix and put it in a container and just say, yeah, this is what I made.
Note to self and to everybody watching, don't ask Mike to make you anything baking-wise.
No baking.
But yes,
no
there baking. Is definitely an art to mulch.
Yeah. And throwing sod is not, it's an easy task when you're in your teens or in your 20s, but man, it kicked my butt.
Haley's shaking your head, I did that for the first time for our give back day.
Yeah.
Last year,
It's a lot of work.
2 years ago now. And I thought, oh, cool, you just talk. No,
so I started,
it's a lot of work.
I started the day grabbing 3 pieces of sod, throwing them down, mm-hmm. going back, and then about 10 minutes later, I'm down to 2 pieces. Mm. Then I was down to 1 piece, and then I started using the wheelbarrow, and I'd fill it up with sod and wheel it over and then put it down. So it was a learning experience for me.
Yeah, it definitely is. But every hour of even learning.
Yeah.
And see, that's actually a great example. You don't have to have any experience to be on the build site. We'll take you in and teach you how to use a wheelbarrow or whatever you're going to need.
Yeah. It was a learning experience for sure, but again, check out volunteer opportunities. And speaking of volunteers, we're going to talk to our incoming board chair today, mm-hmm. Brandon Brayboy,
who coincidentally came to Habitat from being on a build site.
Yeah,
he's got a really cool story.
Really cool story. Well, let's talk to Brandon.
Let's do it.
All righty. So Brandon, thanks for being with us today.
We appreciate you
joining us.
Yeah.
Thank you for everything you do for Habitat.
Sure. It's always a great day when I can be with my Habitat peeps.
Oh, there you go. There you go. We didn't have to even pay them to say that.
I know.
Tell us a little bit about, you know, who's Brandon Brayboy? Where are you from?
Oh,
what's your background look like?
Yeah. So I was born in Lexington, Kentucky, raised in North Carolina for a number of years, where most of my family is from and still resides. Moved down to Tampa when I was 9, and I've been here ever since. Went to high school, middle school here. Went to Florida State, and I have just I've been a Pinellas resident ever since.
Yeah.
I'm married. I've got a beautiful wife and 4 kids. We split our time between Lakeland and Pinellas as we are new business owners of Lakeland Liquidation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's Brandon in a nutshell. I've worked in the past in insurance and in the financial world, and was a partner over there at one point in time, and decided to move on and live our dreams as entrepreneurs.
Yeah. So. How's that been split in time? Because it's, mm-hmm. you know, Lakeland and Pinellas County, you know, you live in Tarpon, obviously. So Tarpon and Lakeland, it's not really that far, but it's far enough where you don't want to make that drive every day, right?
Yeah, you don't necessarily want to make the drive every day. But you know, I had this conversation with somebody else the other day, and it's kind of interesting. When you find yourself in the right place in life and you're doing exactly what you always thought you were supposed to do, although it took me until 39 to figure that out, some of the minute things don't weigh as heavy on you. Yeah. So the drive, I make it almost every day. Mm-hmm. But we split time and we'll stay over there some nights. Yeah. But for the most part, the drive doesn't bother me at all.
Do you get a lot done on the drive?
You know, it's funny you say that. It's one of those few times I actually have a little time to myself to decompress and kind of gather your thoughts.
Okay.
When I get home from work and the kids want all my attention, and when I'm at work, my other kids who are at place, they want all your attention.
Sure.
Everybody in between. So a lot of times I'll shut the phone off. You know, I'm usually making that drive home around 6:30, 7 o'clock.
Okay.
So most people are off work, so it gives me a little time to decompress and listen to a little Billy Ocean, Caribbean Queen. So
there you go. I like it. So growing up here, you know, really since you were 9, no plans to ever leave. You never had any desire to leave the area.
You know, Florida grew on me, and I became a water boy. Kind of right off the bat, we moved over to Tarpon Springs when I was moved down here when I was 9. We moved to Tarpon when I was 11.
Okay,
and that was right on the water. We were living in the Table Palms, which is landlocked.
Sure.
And once we moved to Pinellas, I became a water boy and got into fishing and Hawaiian sling and did the whole thing. So I never pictured myself ever leaving Florida again.
Yeah,
especially Pinellas. In my opinion, I think Pinellas County is best place to live in Florida and the United States.
Well, it's funny because when you shared with me that you were buying the Lakeland liquidation business, my first thought was like, oh man, you're going to move to Lakeland and we're going to lose you as our incoming board chair and all that kind of stuff. But you know, selfishly, we're glad you make that drive all the time to stay over here.
And that you like it so much.
Even though we bought Lakeland Liquidation, our goal really is to become serial entrepreneurs over the next 10 years and buy other businesses. So the location actually wasn't a factor as far as move or not move. We always knew that we weren't going to find everything we wanted right here in Pinellas. So we had to, you know, kind of that give and take of what's good enough and what's far enough. So for us, it's a short-term play to get the company up and running. And then at some point, we'll get a step back to some degree and, work there a few days a week and handle our other business with our other businesses. So, mm-hmm.
So I know that you were involved with your parents' business, but what's been the biggest aha? I mean, you've owned the company now for, has it been a year?
No, it's been 6 months, 7 months.
Okay, what's been the biggest aha so far?
The biggest aha for me is, it's not more of an aha, it's more of a different level of respect for my parents as far as what they actually dealt with. You know, myself and 5 other guys were shareholders, and you know, you get that shareholder title and you think you're kind of running the business and doing all this stuff.
But
there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes that only the CEO or the president can handle.
Sure.
And I think sometimes that might be overlooked. It certainly was by myself.
Sure.
And so that's kind of been our big aha moment is that, running a business is not necessarily all it's cranked up to be.
Yeah.
It takes a different type of person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, so for me, that was kind of the aha moment was, okay, there's far more to owning a business than being a shareholder
at
a business.
Yeah.
So,
well, I think, you know, as an owner of business or CEO or what have you, you know, you start to think about the lives that depend on the decisions you make.
Sure.
Right.
And it's interesting you say that. That you talk about an aha moment. Holistically running the business, that was kind of, this is different. But that aha moment when you finally realize that you own a business 100% and you're not
and it solely falls on you to support mm-hmm. these families.
Yeah.
You know, we're not a huge company. We've got 12 employees, and we have another probably 8 or 9 subcontractors, and most of them rely totally on us for all their work. So yeah. when you start thinking about really impacting 20 families,
mm-hmm. yeah.
It's a big responsibility, and, mm-hmm. and we certainly don't take it lightly. Mm-hmm. It's something that, you know, not only is culture important, but recognizing what builds that culture, and that's mm-hmm. your people,
yeah.
and you have to take care of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Very well said. So what got you to Habitat? Yeah. Tell us the connection here and how you kind of got connected in with us. And
yeah, so I got connected through Habitat through my wife, Christian. She was friends with a woman named Heidi Hackney, who you recall, Mike, was she was in the development, kind of generating, you know, kind of young folks to get involved with Habitat. And my wife had been asking me for months to go on a build, and I just, I thought, just as other people have, and I've come to find out that, you know, I thought Habitat just gave away homes for free.
Yeah.
And there was really no work put in.
Yeah.
And, you know, coming from a business where you're coming from a place of work where your parents own the business, the first, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, I didn't make over $30,000. I mean, yeah. my parents made me clean bathrooms, go deliver stuff,
yeah.
you know, and I always thought, well, I'm their son. I should just get paid a really nice salary just to show up to work. Well, they taught me a really good lesson, and
sure.
and that is, you know, it takes hard work. So I brought some of those preconceived notions
mm-hmm.
To Habitat, or preconceived notions on the front end when asked to go do a build that, you know, I don't want to go do a build for somebody that is just being given a free home. And it's funny, God will talk to you, he'll whisper to you, but there's certain times in your life where he yells at you.
Yeah.
And this was one of those moments.
This was one of those times.
This was one of those moments. You know, I have kids from a prior relationship, and this was before we had my daughter with my wife now. And so it was a weekend, we didn't have any kids. And you know, we had gone out the night before to dinner with a couple friends, and you know, I just didn't feel like getting up the next morning on a Sunday and being down to St. Pete at 7:45. And you know, she'd been asking me for months, and finally she said, "All right, well, I'm going on the build." I said, "All right, we'll have a good time."
Mm-hmm.
And that was literally the night before. And of course, as Christian always does, she woke me up and said, "Sure, you don't want to go?"
Yeah.
And that's when God, one of those moments where he
whacked you in the back of the head, whacked
me right in the back of the head. And you know, I got out of bed and we trotted on down to St. Pete, and we worked on the build. And I've told you this story a number of times, Mike, but you know, I as we were building, you know, I was working next to a young lady, and of course, you know, as I've told you, me knowing everything in life, I start telling this lady what Habitat should be doing. And one of the comments I made was, you know, they really should have the homeowner come out here and help build the house, at least if we're going to build a house for them.
Yeah.
And she started grinning, and it was at that moment I realized that she was probably about to tell me she was a homeowner. and at which point she did tell me she was the homeowner, and we went aside for about 30 minutes and just kind of talked, because I think she saw in my face that I thought completely different of the mm-hmm. program. And we talked for about a half hour. She told me all the classes, that it was not a free home. An interest-free loan at home, but she certainly still had to pay for it, and even more to that point, she was paying on the front end before she even got the home, with hours and all that and classes, and so that was completely eye-opening for me. I left that build that day knowing that I was going to get involved with Habitat. I just wasn't sure how it was going to pan out.
That's cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a cool story. And that's the number one thing Morgan deals with in her role here. Are the misconceptions.
And I was going to say, you're not alone in thinking that it's a giveaway program, or I've heard like a rental. There's all kinds. I mean, there are so many misconceptions. Not everyone gets the opportunity to hear it from a homeowner working alongside them.
Exactly.
Really putting you in check there.
Oh, of course. Exactly what she did. She put me in check. She said, "Oh, no. I've been doing a ton of work." You're not going to tell me all this.
Well, our homeowners become our biggest advocates, because they want people to realize that they're not the one.
They're not getting a giveaway.
It's
not a giveaway.
No.
It's definitely, I mean, it's as we say, it's a hand up, not a hand out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the homeowners take a lot of pride in that statement, because if you, you know, if folks really knew the work it took to get there.
Right.
You know, if we were giving away homes, folks wouldn't be crying at these dedications.
Sure.
That takes a ton of hard work on all parts.
I always joke, like, wear your sunglasses to the home.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Most definitely.
Especially
the last one, that speech you gave.
Oh my gosh. I know.
That was incredible.
Yeah. I mean, it's I always find, like, even if it's cloudy out, everybody's got their sunglasses.
Oh,
yeah. You gotta hide those tears a little bit. But well, that's cool. So you got connected that way, and then obviously you got on our board, right? Mm-hmm.
During this time, had you guys met as I know you're a Copperhead. Had you guys connected as Copperheads at all?
No, I think
I don't think at that point.
I think I may have told. Did I tell you about Copperheads?
I think you might have told me. I might have mentioned it, and I think it was probably a few months out. Really get involved that we sat down and started talking about Copperheads.
Yeah. So obviously we're both involved with the Valspar Trophy. Mm-hmm. I'm wearing my Copperhead shirt today.
That's what reminded me.
I know. So, but you know, Brandon and I are both very involved with the tournament.
Right.
Who is, you know, one of our biggest supporters here at Habitat. Tracy mm-hmm. West on our board and. Just phenomenal group of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Brandon and I bring the fun to the group, right?
Obviously.
It's not a tournament without us.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. But no, it's so much fun. And that tournament has raised the profile for Pinellas County specifically.
Absolutely.
And the Tampa Bay area. But the Valspar connection is cool because Valspar Paint provides paint to Habitat and mm-hmm. been a longtime partner. And so when they signed on as the presenting sponsor, it was great. But we have... You know, myself, Brandon, Doug Woolard on our board mm-hmm. is a member of the Copperheads.
Tracy Westwood.
Tracy. Mm-hmm. Tracy's obviously, you know, rolled off our board, but still very involved with us as an mm-hmm. advisory board member. And so, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of involvement there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty neat.
Yeah, it really has been kind of cool to see how intertwined Copperheads is with Habitat.
Mm-hmm.
And quite frankly, you know, I believe Habitat, so if somebody supports them, I'm willing to get involved. And, you know, I think I've gotten more involved with Copperheads, not only with my time, but financially, simply because of Habitat.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. It's a way to really make an impact. Sorry about that. it's a way to, you know, it's a way to continue to help make further impacts to mm-hmm. Habitat through other organizations that are doing phenomenal work as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So
exactly.
You can partner with the Copperheads and Copperhead Charities, or you can come in as a board chair.
Yeah, one of the two.
You're about to do that.
Yeah. Definitely coming in as board chair. I'm looking forward to it. It's one of those things that. I'm not a guy that likes to be the center of attention, which is why I don't do well in these type of environments. But you know, and not that the chairman is the center of attention, but I guess you get put on a different pedestal. But I could care less about the accolades. It's more or less just having the opportunity to continue to further the mission of Habitat.
Mm-hmm.
Which you know, the mission is founded in Christ. And I've always been a very godly man, so Habitat fits so many check boxes on what you want to be, what you would want out of a philanthropic organization mm-hmm. to get involved in.
So we know, obviously, because we're also intimately involved with Habitat, we know what the future looks like. But why don't you tell us a little bit about, you know, over the next 2 years, you'll serve as a board chair. Kind of, what are your goals? What do you want to see? Continue or to take place over the next couple of years?
Sure. You know, I would say first and foremost, for me, my vision over the next couple years is to continue to do the work that we've done. And actually, I wore the bracelet today just to kind of remind myself. And my vision for the board is to know, to love, and to serve God.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you keep those principles and those foundations set, it'll guide you in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
I lean on my faith quite a bit in all realms of my life, and as do I do with Habitat. And you know, really, my goals for the next 2 years is to really see us continue to serve, but to continue to grow and continue to find areas for improvement to serve more families.
Mm-hmm.
We'll serve 60 plus families this year. I certainly look forward to over the next two years, hopefully getting to 75 homes.
Yeah.
To me, obviously we have a strategic plan in place that we've been working hard on, but having the opportunity just to continue to serve more families means the world,
to me.
I feel like
our reach over the last 5 to 7 years has been tremendous, right? And we've seen that continue to grow.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in a lot of ways we're just scratching the surface. There's so many families that need affordable home ownership opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And the more families we can get that to, I think, the more impactful we're being in the community. And I think our board has shown over the last handful of years that they're not okay with, just
status quo.
Status quo. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, well, let's just repeat last year. Like,
right.
there's always been this growth mindset, which sometimes people feel like, why do we have to do so much more? But it really is the every decision that we make at the organization is all about how to serve one more family.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's such a need.
Yeah. I mean, you hit the nail on the head, Mike. I mean, to say we're even scratching the surface is a huge understatement. I mean, there's thousands and thousands of families in the Tampa Bay area that need help, and and my goal and our mission is to figure out how do we serve all those folks.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that's a pipe dream.
Yeah.
But it's the old adage, shoot for the moon. If you miss, you're amongst the stars, right?
Yeah.
So at least try everything you can to serve as many families, and that that's all about growth, and of course we're on track to do that.
Yeah.
We've merged with West Pasco, which gives us an opportunity to procure more land.
Mm-hmm.
Gives us an opportunity to tap into other relationships in a different community to help continue to raise funds. I mean, raising the funds is key.
Sure.
And so I think West Pasco affords us that opportunity, but there's a lot of crossover between West Pasco and Pinellas too to help really galvanize that community up there and solidify Habitat of Pinellas and West Pasco as really one whole unit.
Yeah, I never realized how many people live in Pasco and come into Pinellas every day, and vice versa.
Sure.
We see a lot of people from Pinellas go up there.
Sure.
And so, there's a lot of synergy there between the two counties. So, works out very well.
Yeah.
So, as we kind of like wrap up here, we typically end our sessions with folks and ask them about what does home mean to them.
Mm-hmm.
So thinking about the word home, how do you describe home, for you and your family?
Sure. So for me and my family, I always like to think about the psychology of it. And growing up, I always just assumed that home ownership was going to happen one day.
Yeah.
That isn't a reality for everybody. There are some people that will never be a reality for, but I grew up thinking that was always going to be such. But once you realize that it's not, it really makes you, and Habitat really has brought this to light for me, once you realize that housing is not afforded to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It really positions your mind of thinking about what home is. And so for me, home is three things, right? It's God, it's love, and it's hope. In my opinion, your foundation should always be God and Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they say in the Bible, you put God first and then your wife and your kids. And sometimes that's tough to actually comprehend because you question God, like, well, why can't I love them just like I love you, deal. But if you really start to dig in deep, what you realize is that love that love that you create with God, it's really the foundation to help pour into your family. When you have Christ in your life, you're going to love your family differently.
Sure.
You're going to love your wife and your kids and view them differently. So God's number one. There's nothing without love.
Mm-hmm.
So love has to be in the equation when it comes to home. And I think when you have both of those foundations, and what I find so beautiful about Habitat is intertwining God and love to really serve that last, what I would call home, and that is hope.
Mm-hmm.
That those two things contribute so much to hope. And I say to people when I'm on the community, it's not a tagline of ours, but I just tell them, and I think we've kind of said something in the past somewhere, but, we We manufacture homes. Whatever. I'm sorry. We manufacture hope. We just happen to build homes. And it, you know, that hope is such a key ingredient. That's honestly what really attracted me to Habitat initially was was the opportunity to create generational hope. And to see that spill over into not only the parents that are having to go through the program to apply and do most of the work to get the home, but to watch the transformation that the kids go through. And you and I have talked about it, trying to figure out how to capture that ROI, that hope that we're creating in that next generation. And for me, that's an opportunity to leave a legacy, not a name legacy.
Sure.
Right.
I could care less to have a name on a building ever, to have anything, no signs for me, but just that internal self-worth of knowing you left the earth a better place.
Mm-hmm.
And so that hope for me is such a key foundation to what home is. You know, it's funny, I've got a quick little story I can share with you guys. You know my struggles in 2020 trying to buy a business, and, and we had gotten to about 10 and a half months in, and we were running out of the money at least we set aside to give myself a year to look for business. And it was, we were almost at the 11th month, and, well, I guess we were middle of October, and I had positioned us to have enough money for the year, and we had a business we were about to close on, and 9:30 that morning, she was supposed to sign the paperwork, and we had signed all the paperwork, and she called me and asked me if she could meet me for dinner, and I said, sure, and so we met for dinner, and she actually told me that she didn't want to sell us the business anymore, and that was tough. That was tough to swallow because I put a ton of work into that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I remember going home and walking through the door and seeing my kids.
Mm-hmm.
They have no clue what's going on. I don't share all my personal information
right.
with them. And they ran up, gave me a hug, mm-hmm. told me they loved me, asked me how the day went, all that. The wife, that was a different story. She knew what was going on. She wasn't as peppy. But it's...
Which is hard for Christian.
Yeah.
She's automatically peppy.
Yeah. And so, you know, obviously that night I prayed on it and did all that. But, you know, it was funny waking up the next morning and you kind of ask what home means and kind of hope and talking about hope. But I woke up the next morning and just basically said, I'm going to get after it. And it was my kids and my wife.
Yeah.
At home, and it really gave me that hope to go out the next day and say, all right, we're going to make this happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so home is so many different things.
Sure.
It's not just a dwelling, but it's a private space in which, for me, to water and nurture those three pots, and that's God, love, and hope.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, thanks for sharing that with us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Brandon, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
You know, you talk about a legacy, right? And by serving on the board and setting that example for your family, that you're giving back in that way, and the community, that you're doing that.
Yeah.
So we appreciate your time. We appreciate the energy you're putting into Habitat, and we appreciate you joining us today.
Hey, thank you, guys.
Thank you. All right. Well, that was a great conversation with Brandon.
Yep.
He is going to, I think, do a great job as our board chair. And I'm not just saying that because he's my boss. But I do really think that his vision and the experience he's had with our organization with growth over the last few years, I think is going to lend us very well. So I'm really excited to hear from him today and just some of his plans to move forward.
Well, and I think it's such a cool time right now, especially with our new strategic plan being rolled out. There's so much opportunity that's going to be coming internally and externally with the mission and pushing things out. So I just think that we couldn't have had a better chair.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be awesome.
I know I mentioned it when we were talking to him, but I really do feel like our goal as an organization is always about how do we serve one more family? You know, how do we get to that next family? How do we get to that next family? And, you know, Brandon touched on it, you know, home ownership is a privilege and it's something that not everyone is afforded the opportunity,
right?
I know you're a homeowner, I'm a homeowner, and I don't take that lightly, you know?
Absolutely.
I think Habitat continues to provide these opportunities for families and we can't do that without the amazing support of so many people in our community.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you all for continuing to support us, whether it's through volunteering, donating, advocating for us, encouraging people to apply, shopping our restore. See what I just did there? I just covered all five pillars. Haley, you like what I did there?
See? Yes.
So, but again, there's all different ways to get involved mm-hmm. with us. We encourage people to check out our website and do that. And who knows? You get involved with us, and we might talk
you might
you
be
into
our
being
next
our
chair.
Next board chair. So Morgan, let's talk a little bit about what we have coming up here at Habitat.
Yeah, looking forward, our 700th home is right around the corner. August 30th, we'll be dedicating our 700th home to Aurora and her daughter, mm-hmm. The Sakers family. And we have so much community support behind this build. It's so exciting to see.
Yeah, it was kind of neat. Instead of going out and recruiting a sponsor to do mm-hmm. the home, what we decided to do was to go deep into the community and say, hey, support us with a $700 check towards the 700th home. And we have over 150 people and businesses, corporations, foundations who have all chosen to do that.
Yeah,
so
it's amazing to see the support.
Yeah, yeah. And you joined in. I joined
you
in.
You as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks for your donation.
Hey, you are welcome. So we encourage you, if you're interested in supporting the 700th home, a $700 check will do it. You can check that out on our website as well. HabitatPWP.org. Thank you for being with us today as we talk to Brandon Brayboy.
Yeah.
We thank you for continuing to tune into our podcast, worldwide podcast. We've reached somebody in China recently based on the demographics we pulled. So, thank you for tuning in today. We hope you go out and make it a great day.